What's up, everybody? I'm super excited. My new book, That's Crazy. No, That's God, has officially launched. Bam, 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 bam. Listen, I just brought it back for all of y'all who've been missing the sound. But let me tell you something. This book is going to ignite your faith. You need to tell every single person you know to get the That's Crazy, No, That's God book. I'm telling you, it's going to ignite your faith. It's going to show you how to see what's already there. It's going to show you how to listen to the voice of God and be led by the Spirit into the supernatural. Not just in big moments, but in your everyday life. Because the planet's going to say, that's crazy. And you, your friends, your family, they're all going to say, no, that's God. Go get the book now. Peace. Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. Listen, culture sells us the fairy tale, but not the fight. Come on, you either fight each other or you fight for each other. Today in the studio with me, I got my beautiful, my girl. Man, you fine, girl. You fine. You look cute. My baby Ruth.
Hi.
What's going on? Are you excited to be on the show?
Very excited.
Yeah?
Very excited.
A little nervous?
A little nervous, but yeah. Excited. Cause
I mean, you're in your element. I mean, you're looking beautiful. You look calm, collective.
Oh, well, thank you.
Come
I
on.
Appreciate that.
Hair looks good.
Come on.
God. So listen, we're talking about pretty much when love gets real. You know, do you have a favorite like romance movie or stuff like that?
Notebook.
Notebook. Mm-hmm. Why you like The Notebook?
The Love Story.
The Love Story. What was the other one?
The Vow.
The Vow. Mm-hmm. Same thing?
The same thing.
Oh,
he loved her
feelings
so much.
Of love. He loved her so much. You could almost feel the love. And so most of your life before you came to Jesus, as a little girl, were you like the fairy tale, like the prince? And I think Count of Monte Cristo, right?
Yeah, the Count of Monte Cristo.
You don't like the new one?
No, I don't like the new one.
You
like
the original?
Yeah, the original.
Why?
Just the whole story about it, right? How he loved her and how it took him many years to come back to her, but he loved her despite of she went with someone else.
So coming up in marriage, like we'll get to our marriage and all that stuff because I want to challenge people. And I also want to give people some tools today about just stuff that we do in our own marriage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I believe that, you know, everybody has to understand that love is real. It's a real thing, but it's not as fairy tale as it gets put out there. So before you met Jesus, I mean, you were married.
Right.
Right. Growing up, did you think of the fairy tale? Did they sell you the feeling of love?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did. But then again, you know, I went into a marriage with my own idea of what marriage was because it wasn't modeled.
It wasn't modeled for you.
No.
So you had the movies telling you fairy tale and then you had real life.
Yes.
did they match?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
So what did a marriage outside of Jesus and parents not modeling that for you look like? What was it, a lot of fight? What did it look like?
It was just living together, you know, raising kids, argument, fighting for just everything.
Yeah.
There was no peace.
Yeah. What would you say from what you've, you know, because we used to do this thing, Dear Younger Me, where you go back.
Uh-huh.
If you could give Ruthie advice, this Ruthie, advice to the Ruthie that thought that marriage was a fairy tale, what advice would Ruthie give Ruthie with what you know now? Are you with me?
Yeah, girl, it's nothing like the movies.
Okay, go ahead.
Stop watching those movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not like that.
Yeah, well, what would you say? What is it like?
It's work. Marriage is work. It's being intentional. You have to be intentional in your marriage.
So do you believe like you can have some of those movie endings if you're really intentional with working hard at your marriage?
Yes.
You can, right? So maybe it's not a fairy tale. Maybe it's the way they propose it with in the way of like feelings. Like you got to feel everything. Because sometimes I don't feel like loving somebody.
Yeah, you're right.
But you choose to love them anyway.
Yes.
Because obviously for us, we have a relationship with Jesus. So right. what he's done for us, we kind of do for each other,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so we fast forward because I wanted people to understand that you can have a very good marriage. Because I remember people used to tell me, well, that's just on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm big on the whole blanket statement stuff. So people would throw this blanket statement because there was a lot of people that were like fighting and mm-hmm. you knew their life. But on Instagram, they're like that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, for me, it's kind of funny because when people would say that, it would kind of offend me a little because right. I felt like my marriage is like that, you know, like we bump heads, but our marriage, I felt like was what we were putting out. I mean, we mm-hmm. even put the COVID picture. I don't know if you remember, right? Yeah. We're all beat up because we're like, okay, let's put the COVID picture.
Because it was real.
Yeah.
Like that's how we were feeling at that moment.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And so all of this is happening. I want to talk about moments when you had to choose love over pride, right? Because pride keeps score, love mm-hmm. keeps no record of wrongs. And so all of a sudden, we're going to get married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Before we were going to get married, we're riding each other for a while. We're getting to know each other, mm-hmm. all this stuff, right?
Right.
You start walking with Jesus.
Right.
Right? I'm walking with Jesus. And man, I felt like my walk with Jesus was like strong, you know, I was like, man, this is good. Then all of a sudden, you know, we got the feeling of love, right? We're like, oh my God, you know, right? All that good
it
stuff.
It grew as we were writing each other, uh-huh. as I was writing you.
So. Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, when we, when I get out and we're walking this out, and we, you know, we started doing things right. Like we weren't going to have sex before marriage. You know, that story's out there a ton, right? What'd you say to me when I said no to you?
You're either gay or you don't love me.
And why'd you say that, you think, at that point? Why do you think that when I was doing something like that I felt was honoring for you, you at that point, how? Because this is in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
What made you say that? What do you think made you say that? Because think about it. Here's a man
uh-huh.
who wants to honor you and he's like, hey, you know, I don't want to have sex until you belong to me. And your thought was, you're either gay or you don't love me. Mm-hmm. Why do you think you said that as a woman?
That's what we do, right? You have feelings for somebody and the next step is you have sex with them, right?
Yeah. And then that I love you, right?
I love you.
That's kind of wild. I guess I asked the question because I think a lot of times, you know, that's not the norm, mm-hmm. right? So most guys, at least I know I did it a million times. You know, you tell somebody, hey, I love you, but it's really just to get in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I remember you walking away, but I also remember you coming back and saying, hey, this is how you want to do these things.
Right.
Which actually, you know, praise God, right? Because at that moment, I was ready to walk away if you didn't say that.
Right. But then I recall that when I said that to you, I walked out of the door,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I went to my car and I started just thinking.
Oh, I want to know. But you never told me.
I started just thinking and just praying. And I'm like, man, this guy really loves me.
Oh.
You know, he wants to honor me. And I remember just saying, you know what? If he wants to do it that way, I'm going to do it that way. So I remember walking back in and I said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. But if this is how you want to do it, then we'll go ahead and do it your way.
You know, I never asked you what you, I never knew that part. This mm-hmm. is like the first time I heard you say that, you know, because mm-hmm. I always know that you left, but I don't know what happened when you left, right? But I do know that when you were gone, in my mind mm-hmm. was two things. I said, man, God, like I was a little bit shocked because I honestly thought that the response would be, like, oh my God, like praise the Lord, you know? And I was like, man, God, I remember even tearing up. This mm-hmm. is wild because here you got this ex-gangster guy, you know, I'm tearing up because I'm like, this is so difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if she doesn't come back and say, I don't even know what you had to say. I just knew that come back and say the right thing. I knew that if we got married mm-hmm. and I was going to try to walk in the Lord, you would probably pull me away, right? Like the truth, you'd probably pull me away because that means that you would not be willing to do things God's way. This is how I was interpreting behind that door.
I was like, okay.
I go, well, if she just comes back upset and we just say sorry, then I knew that at some point I would get high again or I would sell drugs again because I knew if you would pull me in that direction,
mm-hmm.
I would never be able to even lead you. Mm-hmm. Because how can I lead you if at that moment you're like, no, we're not going to do it this way, so no.
Yeah.
Then it's proof. And I think a lot of times there's proof, like that kind of proof. Like in this, it turned different.
Right.
But sometimes there's this kind of proof that when you're dating somebody mm-hmm. and people don't see the red flag and they get married anyway.
Right.
And then they start complaining of why they are in that situation. And so I think sometimes following the lead of the Bible, even in that. So it's cool to know that you went and prayed.
Right.
Because now I'm like, okay, God gave you the answer.
Yeah, because that was early in my walk with the Lord. So I was still a fleshy Christian.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I had to just pause and pray and, you know, the conviction, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, totally. So then we get married.
Mm-hmm.
So then, let me tell you, that was a very hard year for me. You know, we created boundaries. Do you remember?
I remember that.
What was it? Do you remember the boundaries?
Yeah. We're not going to kiss. Mm-hmm. This was before marriage, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to kiss because every time we kiss, we were like breathing.
Oh, yeah. You
hard and like, we're like.
All like heavy breathing. Yeah.
So our boundary was like, we were going to say Jesus.
Oh, you remember that?
We'd be kissing and it was getting a little bit hot. And then all of a sudden we're like, Jesus.
Jesus.
We would put Jesus in the middle and yeah. we would literally stop kissing, you know.
Because... Some of y'all are thinking like, no, this is literally what we did.
Yeah.
So if we did if that kiss lasted a little longer, yeah. we would, one of us would, well, it was me mostly at that time.
Wow. No, I recall it's the other way too, because I said Jesus.
A couple, yeah, a little bit, you know, remember, you know. So
yeah, and then you would tell me, don't wear short shorts, don't wear see-through clothes, like... You know? We had those boundaries.
Yeah, wear sweats.
Yeah,
I mean, guys, because here's the thing.
Even in the summer, come on.
Because here's the thing. Like, we're saying all of these things to show you that we're very real people,
mm-hmm.
that we had to create boundaries because it wasn't like I didn't think you were hot. And it wasn't like that thigh was speaking to me, right? So I needed to make sure that, I mean, you needed to help me.
Right.
So a lot of times we expect guys to behave a certain way, but the woman doesn't want to help the guy. And in this, thank you so much because you helped me. You might think even, and I remember us laughing on some of those things. Mm-hmm. Like we were going to watch TV and it was always going to be in the living room, never in the room.
Yeah.
And it was not going to even be a dark, you know, we had all these little things because guys... The flesh is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
So the flesh will always lead you to things and then you fall and then you're like, oh, what happened? What had happened was you didn't put red light, yellow light, green light, you know? So I think
you're
that's
right.
important.
And a lot of people position themselves for the bite.
Yeah. Explain that a little bit.
Well, a lot of times we tell people, hey, don't let the guy stay the night. And they're like, well, he's just on the couch. No, he's on the couch for a little bit. Eventually, he's going to end up in the room. So
playing footsies.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. And so, okay, so then in our marriage, uh-huh. then we get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got married, how was it in the beginning?
Oh, we were learning each other. And it's so different from dating somebody to literally... marrying somebody and living together, because then you really start finding out how they are. Like I'm OCD. I like it clean. You like to have your little corner there. And I was like, no.
You're saying I'm a little messy?
A little messy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you put your A game, right? Like when you're dating, but when, you know, you're married, you just loosen up. Yeah.
The guards
drop. I'm like, what? You bamboozled me.
Hey, oh my God. In the sense of like being messy, not the other stuff.
No. Okay. Just the messy part.
Okay, because we got to make that clear.
Yeah, we're talking about the messy part, the little corner.
And so, yeah, she doesn't like when I throw my sneakers and t-shirt. And I feel like we would always have this little argument where I'm like, it's my corner.
Yeah.
And she's like, I clean the house. So we would have this thing. Mm-hmm. And so we created even in that, we were like, hey, I had him straight up through scripture. I said, death, burial, and resurrection. I said, you give me 3 days to have a little corner.
Yeah. Because Jesus rose on the third day.
Because Jesus rose on the third day. But hey, now.
But it works.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me anything, ever.
No. I think it created a habit.
It created a habit.
And now it's like you clean your own stuff. I don't have to say, hey, babe, your corner.
Do you think now I tell you, like, hey, babe. Yeah, let me tell you something. I love you, man. I love you. Look, so... In the beginning, because remember, we're choosing love over pride.
Mm-hmm.
How were you in the beginning? Because I share the story a lot, but I want to hear from your side. You just weren't choosing love, because it was so different for you, and you were used to arguing, and you were used to, and you had to heal and all this stuff. So I want to hear from your words, how you were in the marriage in the beginning, of were you prideful, argumentative? Like, what were some of the things you struggled with, and what was the changing point? Like what caused you to okay, I can't do this,
Right.
Because at one, you were like, I can't do this no more.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was single for a very long time. So yeah. I like to do things my way.
Yeah.
And I didn't like people to tell me how to do it, when to do it, when to come, when to go. And when I got married, that was very hard. I didn't know how to be a submissive wife.
Yeah.
Right. I like to control the situation and I made all the decisions. And it was hard being married and now having to do it a certain way.
Because you were almost 40 when we got married, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So then that was the difficult part. Now we can't get into an argument. Or when we would get into an argument, I was so used to I'm going to my sister's house and I'm going to go spend the night. And it's okay. It's family. I'm not going anywhere. But being married, you're like, no, you can't do that. And even when I wanted to sleep in Joshua's room because we had
Tell them about that.
Well, there was one time where we had a disagreement. And I don't remember what it was about, so it was probably nonsense.
Yeah, probably.
And I ended up sleeping in Joshua's room, putting him to bed, and then ending it up there. And then you're like, hey, are you coming to bed? And I ignored you. I acted like I was asleep.
Yeah, no, I remember you. And
then you come back two more times, and after the second time, I'm just going to stay here. And you're like, no, you got to come to bed. So you ended up going to bed, and I ended up sleeping there. And then the next day you're like, I can't believe you left the house. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't leave the house. I was in Josh's room. You're like, if you're not sleeping on the bed, you left the house because I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. And pretty much what I was trying to communicate then, I'm hoping it came out right then, but what I was trying to communicate is that a lot of times in marriage, when you start doing something, let's say you start with the room, and then I know how much of an idiot I was, especially then, I was growing in my walk, learning, growing and maturing towards Christ. And in that time I had just gotten out, we just got married and pretty much what I didn't want to cause, because this is the part, I don't know if you remember this, when you were in the room, I was already thinking this way. So look at what I said. I said, I grabbed the trash and I wanted to see if you came out. And I said, I'm leaving. I don't know. Do you remember that? I said, I'm leaving. And so I went to throw out the trash. When I got to the trash, there was a bunch of people. They were all smoking weed and stuff because we lived in Greens Point and they had the little corner and everybody smoking. And I remember looking at them and I felt like the Holy Spirit was get back inside, because I already had the thought of I'm leaving.
Right.
It was just me fooling around. Not fooling around, but trying to get you to come out. And so I threw the trash and I ran because I felt like I was going to get high. I was like, oh, you're going to wind up doing something dumb. So I ran back. When I was communicating, that's the side you didn't see when you were in the bed. I got in the room, and not only did I get in the room, I closed the door and actually locked it. And I laid in that bed that night and I was like, I'm not going to mess up, So I literally went to sleep saying, I'm not going to mess up. Because I knew that the drugs were out there. I knew that the guys were out there. And I wanted to, and I told you this vengeful, oh, then I'm leaving. And so when I told you that the next day is because I didn't want to create a, you do that. And then next time I actually leave. And then I do something dumb because then I leave, then you leave to your sisters, then I leave to the bar, then you leave to the club, then I leave. And so I never wanted to start that, and which we haven't because you've never left the room again.
Never, never. It was at one time and that was it.
Yeah, because, I feel like we're married, be upset, but I still want to feel your foot. I still want to know, I signed up to be married and not to be single at that point of our life. And so I felt like, no, there should be nothing that gets us to a place where we're so angry that we forget how much we love each other, that we just run away. Because that would not be good in the long run, right? Because it starts off with little things.
Yeah, not just that, but the word says, right, don't give the enemy a foothold. And I feel like when couples do that, they're actually opening the doors for the enemy to come in.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. And so at what point, because you know, you would be a little sharp with your tongue and all that stuff. At what point do you make this decision that you do you hit a point where you go, man, I'm speaking this way and it's not gentle or it's not kind or it's not. At what point do you actually get the revelation of like, man, this is, you start choosing love rather than your pride?
I recall when we would have the disagreements, right? Early on in the marriage, and you would always say, "Why do I have to be Jesus in this situation? Why do I always have to apologize?" And you were always the peacemaker. And you said that so many times, like, I don't know, I was so prideful. And I remember one time saying, "He's right. Like, why does he always have to apologize? Why can't I do it?" And I remember I reflected in that moment and I remember telling you, like, "Hey, I'm sorry." And at that moment, it's like something shifting you. Like, you were shocked that I even apologized because I was very prideful. So that was one of the moments.
And you know, on the flip side of that coin, for the person that's out there that actually feels like they're always, you know, because even though I feel like I could have delivered that maybe to get you to understand maybe better, because even though the choosing Jesus all the time was accurate, making peace, bringing Jesus into a situation was accurate. Me telling God, or me, like, because it started to get like aggravating, like, why do I have to always be Jesus? That was wrong, because the reality is that I shouldn't be aggravated to be a son and be Jesus. And nobody else should pull me from my character to kind of, I'm being Jesus because Jesus lives in me. I'm being Jesus, you know, at least looking back today, I'm like, I'm being Jesus because I'm choosing to want to glorify my father, right? It has nothing to do with the rest of the planet. It has everything to do with me doing my part. And so I'm, you know, looking back, I'm like, man, you know, even though I was right on some of the ways I was living, but I felt like I should have never been that way, you know.
But even in that situation, it made me aware, right?
Which I
That
think
I
is
could
dope.
be better,
And
right?
that's the goal.
Because a lot of times we get prideful and we don't want to apologize, even when we know we're wrong. Because I knew a lot of times I was wrong.
Really?
Yeah, but I was,
Man, I didn't know that you knew.
I'm telling you, like, I was working on myself. I was a fleshy Christian,
So you
but
knew you were wrong.
I knew it was
And then you
wrong.
would go to the Lord. Well, okay,
Yeah.
what?
Well, I knew it was wrong and I just didn't want to apologize. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna apologize, you know, because I was still fleshy and but you know, conviction, right? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I can't wait because, you know, we'll be doing some of these marriage episodes on certain topics. They'll be short, certain topics, probably starting in 2026. So I'm excited that we are now just starting a dialogue about just marriage, about love getting real, about marriage being hard work but so worth it, about marriage having to be intentional so that you it's not just effortless fairy tale. There is an intentionality. There is a denying, dying, and following Jesus that has to happen all the time. So, to put a bow on this, you know, real talk, talking about prayer, intimacy, and partnership, putting Christ at the center. I know we all know the song, Jesus at the Center of It All. You can't build a godly marriage based on human emotions. It's got to be built on God's foundation. You know, there are certain things that we do because I don't know if people know, what is it, the fact fighting? What are the
Escalate,
escalate, fact
fighting,
fighting,
and withdraw.
withdraw? And there's
And
one more, isn't it?
dishonoring.
And dishonoring. And those four things do what?
Well, if you operate in those lead to separation and divorce. So you want to move away from that
From
because those
escalating,
from escalating,
fact fighting,
fact fighting,
withdraw,
withdrawing, and dishonoring
dishonoring.
each other.
Okay. And so for us, so people could understand, I was more of a fact fighter.
I would withdraw.
And you will withdraw. And so let me tell you what that looked like. It looked like I wanted to talk right then and there. You know, we need to talk. We need to talk. And Ruthie's like, I don't want to talk. So I am chasing Ruthie around the house pretty much like, we need to talk. She'd go in a room, I go in the room, and we're going to talk. And then she would get a little bit dishonoring and escalate. And then she'd go, like, let's say you went into the bathroom.
Yeah, because you would follow me. So the only place you couldn't follow me is the bathroom. I would lock the door.
And what would happen?
So I literally would go to the bathroom, do my hair, do my makeup, take my time. And then I'd come out 20 minutes later and you're sitting on the corner of the bed. Wait, I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, well, we got to talk about this.
And so I think we both learned some important principles there because even though maybe the thought of having the conversation was accurate, mm-hmm. the way we were both having it, you know, because sometimes we're drawing. If you're going to spend time with the Lord, that's okay, which we'll talk about that here in a minute. But if you're withdrawing to not talking to the Lord and just feed your negativity or let the enemy counsel you, mm-hmm. right? Because isolation is kind of what.
Yeah, isolation is when you don't want to be in that place because that's where the enemy talks to you and puts things in your mind and puts negative things like, this marriage ain't worth it. Why are you always the one apologizing? Yeah. So you don't want to be in that place.
And he's trying to get you to believe the lie so you can be in deception.
Right. He wants you to bite the apple.
Yeah. So, you know, now we're talking about with something that we do in marriage mediation, think or sink. This is when you're sinking.
Yes.
There's all these things that happen and you wind up in destruction.
Right.
And we want to be on the thinking side.
Right. You want to do it God's way.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing it your way, it's just leading to destruction. And you spend so much time sinking than you would if you were thinking.
Yeah. And so there's this book called The Four Laws of Love by Jimmy Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about partnership,
priority, pursuit, and purity.
Pursuit and purity. Yep. And so pretty much when we get upset now, we unplug, right? We pause. So I'm not fact fighting and chasing you down and you're not completely withdrawing talking to the enemy.
No.
You're now going to the Lord.
To the Lord.
And I'm going to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, it's a little rough when you first start, but then you start getting used to it and you don't really have to, you just unplug automatically.
Right.
Right? Which is kind of what the Bible says, to take a thought captive.
Right. But when you go to the Lord, right, when you go to the Lord, you're literally releasing the magnifying glass and picking up the mirror and allowing God to show you because disagreements aren't always about the other person. It's about really you.
Yeah.
There's something happening within you.
So when you go to the Lord with the mirror, what are you asking the Lord?
Like, God, show me where I'm wrong or how
can... Out of alignment?
Yeah, I'm out of alignment.
Okay. And so there's four things that every single time you're in a disagreement will show you what you're out of line. And it's always these four, which is kind of wild, right? Partnership.
Partnership.
So you go to the Lord, you're upset, and you're asking the Lord where you're out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Partnership is, you know, everything is shared, right? Everything is shared. And so... most of the time, if it's, you know, you're doing stuff financially or you're doing stuff that it's not a shared or an agreement, you're probably going to get in a disagreement.
Right.
Because you're out of agreement with being in partnership.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Having conversations, you know, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Prioritizing. Usually if you're not prioritizing your spouse.
Your spouse, right.
You're going to get into a disagreement.
Yeah, you're out of alignment.
Yeah. If you get in a thing, most of the time when you get in a disagreement, if... you got to ask yourself, you know, Lord, am I out of partnership? You know, am I out of priority? Did I not prioritize my wife? Because if your wife feels like you prioritize everything else, but not her, and that's out of alignment. It's going to create a disagreement.
Right.
Or vice versa, where the husband feels like you're not prioritizing him.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cause a disagreement. The next one is purity.
Purity.
And what's that?
Creating a safe place. A safe place where you can both be vulnerable, transparent, and no judgment.
Yeah.
Because where else are you going to be able to have these conversations?
Which that's what's totally changed in our marriage.
Yes.
Because before there was no purity.
No purity.
Right? Somebody talks, we're going to blow up on each other, we're going to say something, and there was no purity. It's like we say, hey, why don't you just talk to me? But the reality is that there's a lot of people that say, why don't you just talk to me? That when the person tries to talk, you kind of catch this big attitude and you blow up. So the lower purity has to be intact.
Yes.
Are you a safe place for your spouse to share her innermost secrets?
Oh, yeah.
Because we talk about everything.
Right.
Moments are like, hey, lustful moments. Hey, if somebody's horny in the relationship and the other one's not providing, right? Because stuff happens in life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of times people go, wow, you know, you just can't really tell your wife that. I just think that's not good because I could, let's say Gerardo's in the bed. I could talk to Gerardo and Gerardo could pray for me, but that's all he could do.
Right.
Like the reality is that at some point I have to be okay with having a conversation because most people are like, well, I don't say nothing because if I say it, then it creates a big argument. That means the law of purity is out. When people say that, that means you don't you don't have a pure relationship.
In yeah, the sense and this is an opportunity where you get to hear your spouse, right? Yeah. And as a wife, you come along and you help your spouse. We're yeah. a helpmate. We're supposed to help our spouses. So if my husband's saying, hey, we haven't had sex for 10 days or I'm feeling horny, like it's my job to come alongside and say, okay, how can I help you?
Yeah, that's really good. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's in everything, right? Because right. the wife might say, hey, I need some help, or she might be struggling with something. Mm-hmm. And so the reality, and it just might not be, it could be emotional intimacy, mm-hmm. right? Because there's right. all these intimacies. Intimacy is not just about sex. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is pursuit.
Pursue. Are you pursuing your spouse?
Are you pursuing your spouse? And we struggled with that before. And so it's funny because in conversations where I felt like, man, I'm pursuing you, but mm-hmm. I felt like you weren't pursuing me. And then we got into this whole menopause thing and all kinds of stuff where you're like, hey, it's not like, because you were pursuing me. Right. Yeah. And so think about how wild that is, because just leaning into that a little bit, it's like, let's say you were being pursued the whole time. Most of the time in the world, if a person's not being pursued, you start thinking, is there another?
Uh-huh.
But in our case, I know that wasn't happening, but it.
But you were thinking
the,
it.
I had the little. Well, not the thoughts were you outside the marriage.
No.
But yeah. the thoughts of what's going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was like, am I messed up now? Like, what's going on? Like what's happening that I feel like she's over there and distant, and we hang out all the time and we have these great conversations, and all of a sudden I feel, I wouldn't say alone, but alone in the sense of like mm-hmm. that kind of life. Like what happened to the, or the just wanting yeah. to like, hey, I'm into you. Right.
Right.
That warfare was crazy, right? Because you don't want to step outside your marriage.
Right.
You want to respect it. And so the prioritizing that conversation was important. Yeah. The partnership was important. Mm-hmm. All of these things were so important because we had to come in agreement with how to do this. And then you telling me what it was.
Yeah. Well, I had to just out. Yeah, I had to assure you that there was nothing wrong with you. Like, I love you. I find you attractive. It's just me.
Yeah.
I'm the one with the problem.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out what it was. Mm-hmm. So when I went to the doctor to check myself, that's when they were telling me about menopause and all of this stuff. Yeah. So then that's when I told you, hey, it's all about me. It has nothing to do with you. I love you. So I had to reassure you on that.
I like the way you say I love you. Now, look, seriously speaking, so right now, we'll put a bow on it. We've been doing a devotional. We made a decision. Oh, because Philip Baker, you know, I was interviewing Philip Baker, and he pretty much was like, hey, my marriage is the best. And, you know, he goes, but you're, you know, in heaven, it's already instituted. And he said, you know, but, you know, you're coming in a close second. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear that you're in a close second. And so, you know, I went to our Heavenly Father, and I was like, you know what? No. That's not the case. So I want to tell you, Evangelist Philip Baker, that that right now they took this back into the courtroom. They took this back into the courtroom because my marriage now, I believe, by 2 points, is taking the lead on the best marriage of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're out there and you're thinking, you know, you go to the Father, but I'm just telling you, you might be in a close second, could be dropping in third. But I hear Philip Baker's in a close second. I don't know the rest of the people. You might be in a third. I know that I'm 2 points ahead. And, you know, we made this decision that we were going to pray for 365 days.
Right.
And we were not going to skip one day.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a decision that we were going to read the word, and we were going to actually do this for 365. Nothing was going to get in the way. And so we're on day 64.
Mm-hmm.
We're on day 64. We had a few moments where I thought, man, how are we going to do this? And we had to get creative. Like, I went some taping some television shows, and we would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, still do our devotional over the phone.
Yeah. And I went out of town for 4 days with my sisters, and the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, we were intentional about waking up, doing the devotional, even when we're out of town.
Mm-hmm. My point is that when you make a decision in your heart and you want to be intentional, like, we want the greatest marriage of all right. time. So the only way we could do that was that we said, hey, you know what? Let's do this every single day for uh-huh. a year and see where our marriage is at. And let me tell you something. It's been incredible for me. You know, it's helped me forgive fast. I'm praying often. I'm staying humble. Like, all of these things that we need to do with mm-hmm. Jesus at the center of everything. Because some of them were a little bit like, oh, okay, how are we going to do it? And you were, I think, at a coffee shop at one point, you know, and then I'm FaceTiming you and we're both just woke up because I had to do it early so I could do the taping.
Right.
So I believe that whatever you want, anything you invest your time in, anything you seek the kingdom in, is actually going to do good.
Right.
What has been your experience in the last 64 days in doing this Devo together, praying together, talking about scripture together? Has it made a difference? And what kind of difference has it made?
Doing the devotional has been impactful because we pray together before the devotional.
Yep.
Then it asks you questions and you dialogue and then there's prayer.
Yeah.
And I feel that when we do that and we're intentional about it, it sets us for the day.
It sets the tone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
I
does.
Agree. I think it just does something. Can't explain it. And we've both prayed together, but not this
the
consistent.
The way we're doing it.
Not
yeah.
this consistent to where it's every single day.
Right.
And, you know, we're not doing it from a legalistic place, like if we miss the day. But I believe the intentionality of it is going to help us not miss a day because it's something that, you know, like I told Philip Baker right now, I'm 2 points up. So
yeah.
I want to, I hope he watches this. But, you know, 2 points up. And I'm thinking I just want, you know, I want it to be noted.
Yeah.
As, you
and
know,
it just shows value, like you value your spouse, you value your marriage.
Because priorities are proven in real terms,
right?
Not just words, right? So we could say you prioritize something with your words and actually your actions won't match it in anything in life, right? You can say, well, I have a relationship with the Lord, but your life should be proven in real terms that, hey, I love the Lord.
Right.
I'm prioritizing this, right? I'm a partner with Ruthie. So I'm going to have conversations before I make decisions, right? Because we're partners.
Right.
We're equals. I'm always going to prioritize her. Why? Because that's what Jesus wants me to do, right? And so purity, I want it to be a safe place because I want to be able to tell you something and you not blow up because of something that I feel or, you know, sometimes I just want you to listen to me, you know? So I think all those things are important and pursuing your spouse is super important.
It is.
You know, and I always tell single people, I'm going to throw this in for my single people. I would say, they say, well, how do I apply that? Because we had some singles in a class we taught once. They said, well, how do I apply that in singleness? I said, I'm glad you asked. Because my relationship with God, usually when something goes wrong, I ask, did I partner with him? Did I talk to him first? Okay, did I talk to him first before I made this decision? Did I pray before I made this decision?
Right.
Did I share? Did I let him share his heart with me in that situation? So usually if that's out of alignment, when something goes wrong, that was out of alignment. Maybe I didn't ask him. Maybe I went to him after.
Right.
Maybe I thought, I know what he wants because he's wanted it like this the last 5 years. And this year he's like, we're making a change, but I never asked him.
Yeah.
I'm pursuit. Am I pursuing Jesus? Am I chasing after Jesus?
Yeah.
That's important. That's super important. You know, am I prioritizing him? Is he above everything? And then the last one is kind of tricky because people say purity. I say, well, he's always a safe place.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's always safe. The question in purity is, are you? When he speaks to you about something that you don't like, like he tells you, give this up or I need you to stop that, do you get frustrated and out of control and not do it? Or are you like, yes, Lord?
That's good.
I hear you. You know, are you a safe place for him?
That's good.
Because sometimes, man, we treat him, you know, he loves us and he wants to tell us something that's going to actually give you this abundant life. And then we treat him so disrespectfully sometimes. We don't have the fear of the Lord or we're not just thinking. So that's how a single person can do it. And so all of these things come first from the Lord.
Right.
And then when you practice that with the Lord, then when you go here, you understand partnership.
Absolutely.
You understand prioritizing. Mm-hmm. So it always comes from there first, right?
It's your alone time with the Lord too.
It's your alone time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Any final words you want to give to anybody that maybe is like, man, it could be either for the person that's thinking about getting married or the person that's already married and maybe struggling to, maybe they're seeing, they haven't yet realized that love wins.
Yeah, well, I guess if I was to give advice, it would be read the book, The Four Laws of Love. I feel for me, that's been an impactful book. It's a really good book and it does teach you about the four laws of love.
Yeah.
yeah, it's helped me out. It's helped our marriage, and it's going to help them out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with me. I'm looking forward to starting our Love Wins chapters, right? So yep. This is going to be exciting. Let me tell you guys, when you get closer to Christ, you get closer to each other. Don't forget, you know, we shout at the rooftops, love wins. And when we say that, we're saying that victory happens at the cross. In other words, when I deny myself mm-hmm. and carry my cross and I follow Jesus, that's actually me accepting that love. I'm actually loving someone else because I'm choosing what Jesus would do with that person. And so it's not love wins like this feeling of Hollywood. It's more like love wins at the cross. When I come to the end of myself, I serve my wife. And when she does that, she serves me. And it's two servants in love. So I want you to understand, and I want you to shout from the rooftops. Listen, when love gets real, always remember that the way Jesus intended for us to be married, to become one, always wins, because love always wins. Peace. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.